Tell me where you are right now, Carl.
I'm in Florida at Delray Beach and about to play the Garage, the art centre here. I'm here for 2 nights and then we're off and we're sort of touring roughly for about 4 weeks here in America. Most of the dates are on the website or on Facebook. We've just come in from Europe. We just did 16 concerts in Europe. We've been all over, so it's been quite an exciting time.
What's so important is Tuesday night, May 9th, you're going to be at the City Winery, which is a new venue here. Wait till you see it. This place is fabulous. But
I'm looking forward to it.
I couldn't quite imagine, and I'm so glad that I got some audio here of Carnival 9 and Hoedown. I was thinking, how does Carl Palmer go out, like you're going to go to this more intimate venue, City Winery, with a band, ELP Legacy, right? And you're going to be playing these songs that are so huge and so full. And then when I heard the audio, I went, okay, I see how you're going to do it. Talk to me about this. Holy cow.
Well, I've got two great musicians with me, Paul Bielatovich on lead guitar, Simon Fitzpatrick on six-string bass, plus he plays the stick, which is a 10-stringed instrument, which you can trigger synthesizer sound. So we can get some of the sounds from Emerson, Lake and Palmer if we so wish. I've not tried to copy what Emerson, Lake and Palmer did, hence it's an instrumental band, there's no keyboards. I've just tried to present the music in another way and just show how versatile this music is, because it's obviously very important. And we've got a lot of younger generations which are sort of coming along now to see us, which is really, really nice. I'm very pleased.
If you don't mind us going back a bit, you come by this very honestly because music ran in your family, and I was wondering, how does a guy have such cool parents that let him pick up the drums anyway? But it sounds like you have brothers that were playing drums too, and your dad played the drums.
And my grandfather did as well.
So tell me a little bit about this growing up, but you also have some classical background, right?
I went to the Royal Academy for a short while, studied under James Blaze. I went to the Guildhall of Music, studied under Gilbert Webster. I had about 5 teachers altogether. I had an American guy called Bruce Gaylor that was in London. I had a local teacher in Birmingham, my hometown, Tommy Cunliffe, and I had other teachers around. I had about 5 or 6 teachers.
Didn't you pick up other instruments also?
Yeah, I mean, I can play the banjo, I can play the xylophone, I can play most of the classical sort of stuff. It's just a case of me sort of getting back into it, but it's not my main sort of deal, you know.
That's what I find so amazing about you, is I love the fact that you seem to know so much about music. Not that you wouldn't playing drums. I mean, drums are such an integral part of everything, but you're saying you're not trying to copy ELP, but that is who you are, and then you're presenting it as the drummer of this band, and that's what I find fascinating. That's so cool to me.
Yeah. There you go. You have to come along and see it, and you can see what it's all about then.
Trilogy was one of my first albums I picked up on my own. I have older brothers, and so they love their music, and I found Trilogy, so that was my introduction to you. But then you come back, and you find this other band, Asia, in the 80s, so you do it again, Carl. There are very few guys and bands that can say they had that kind of huge impact on rock and roll music in the world.
If you really want to be accurate, you can count the Crazy World of Arthur Brown in 1968, probably before you were born.
No.
I was in that band, and I had a number one album and single at the same time.
Look, I had that 45, I Am the God of Hellfire, and I bring you...
there you go then. So,
I know all about
you. I've been doing it a long time.
You have been doing it a long time, but tell me, what is the key to that to you? It's got to be the players, I would imagine.
Well, I've been very lucky in choosing who I play with and making sure that the music that I want to play is working, you know, in the commercial market at the time. I've made sure that I've stayed on top of my craft, and I've made sure that, you know, it's been enjoyable, because in fact it's enjoyable to me, enables me to keep on sort of playing. If there was any compromises, then I probably wouldn't really enjoy it. But I've had to make very, very few compromises in my life, and I've had an unlimited amount of success, probably more than most musicians. I'm very, very happy about that.
When I looked at what you're up to right now, I'm like, so you're touring. You're going to be here May 9th, City Winery, Carl Palmer's ELP Legacy, Emerson, Lake & Palmer Lives On, a musical celebration. So you're going to be hearing lots of your favorites done in a very different way. Then, now, are you really going out again in June for the pictures at an exhibition tribute again for Keith Emerson?
I'm going out in June with Aisha, if you go to the website. Aisha's playing with Journey.
Yes, I did know that, because you guys haven't come to Atlanta. And I'm like, oh, my God, I hope you come to Atlanta with that tour.
Check all the dates. It's on the we're on the site. And that goes through into July, and then you've got the Yestival thing, which starts August. That's basically Yes, Todd Rundgren and Carl Palmer's ELP Legacy. There's about 134 concerts I'm playing. I've never played quite as many, to be honest with you. So,
wow. I also was very interested in what you're doing with art. Would you explain a little bit? Because it doesn't sound like you're the artist yourself, but that you work with this group, Scene 4 Art Studios.
I arrange all the sort of the shadows and the lights and the actual reflections. I control all of that side of it. How it works is the drums are set up in a room about 12 foot square, and I decide, and it's completely pitch black, I decide what I'm going to play, whether it be, I've just done a new one as a dedication to John Wetton, who died January 31st. I've done a piece called Heat of the Moment. So what I do, I'll play the actual drum part, I'll select a part of the music where the drum part is the most active, and then I play with these drumsticks that have got LED lights in the end of the sticks. So what happens is I sort out the camera positions with the one guy. They're handheld cameras, different shutter speeds on each camera. It goes into the computer. I take a look at it. And then out of the 10 positions, we'll probably get two and probably one that works really well. And then I kind of deal with the shadows, the reflections and stuff to try and get a little more composition into the painting, into the canvas. And we go from there and I play. And possibly, you know, you're looking at sort of, I suppose, 8 hours, 7 hours for sure, each one. And that's how that kind of goes along, really.
Oh, my gosh.
But I can't actually do it. I can't take the pictures myself, but I set it up so it is done. And then I work with a guy called Ravi, and I don't change any of the colored channels. So when it goes into the computer, if it hasn't worked, then, you know, we scrap that day and we'll go again and we'll eventually get it. But it is a little bit hit and miss, even though we've got most of it calculated now on how we can create it. What I will do is if I get something that's, say, 80% right, but there's a couple of bits here and there that don't work, I'll kind of leave them in and look at it as an organic sort of deal, you know, and leave it like that. But if it doesn't work at all, and it's just a big mess, which a lot of them are, because, as I say, it's an art form you can't control, then we'll just come back the next day and we'll give it another go.
That fascinates me. And we can find this on your website, correct?
You can find it on the website. There's also videos on the website, too. And I donate a third of it to charity,
whatever we do,
you know. And a lot of it's gone to cancer, as you can imagine, because Greg Lake and John Wetton both died of cancer. And Keith Emerson basically died of depression. So, you know, I make sure, I think over the last year, we must have given somewhere between $12,000 and $18,000 worth, you know, of money across. So
it's all good.
It's all good.
Let's do this, because you have worked with these guys that were all just such prolific and amazing artists. You put together a band for yourself now that tours, that I imagine these guys have got to be really, really good if they're playing with you. But let's talk about drummers, and this will just keep kind of be my last thing I want to throw out at you. If you had to pick your own drummer and you were going to maybe, do something else behind the scenes for your band, who would you pick?
You mean if I was to work with another drummer?
Either work with, or for some reason you couldn't play and you had to pick somebody to take your place.
I would say that there's an awful lot of great, great drummers out there. I think somebody who's really underrated is the drummer that was in a band called Motorhead. His name is Mickey D. He's Greek. He's an excellent drummer. He's now playing with the Scorpions. I would say that somebody like that, you know, would be like a good choice. He's high end, high sort of energy, a good technique, and seems to have had a lot of experience and seems a very nice guy, the interviews that I've seen. So if I couldn't do it, you know, I'd be suggesting people like that. I mean, I would always go for the underdog who's not had the notoriety that he should have done. And I don't think Mickey D has had the acclaim he should have done by now.
And I didn't expect that answer, so I love hearing that. I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to see you in this group ELP Legacy. And Carl, thank you so much for your time. Again, May 9th at the City Winery. I love talking to you. Thank you. Big fan.
Okay, Casey, thanks very much for the interview. Speak to you soon.